to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Alex Cox, and I'm an automaton in training.
I'm Matthew Casanelli, and I forgot which day the Apple event was.
Pro move. Pro move.
That's how you do it.
Boop, boop, boop. What do you want to start with?
I mean, I don't necessarily have like a bunch of predictions. It's like they're coming out with the stuff they announced, and I feel, I mean, like maybe there's some stuff, but I guess I haven't really thought about it. So I just like don't. I haven't been listening to many podcasts this summer.
Ooh, I think that's an interesting idea to explore.
Well, I mean, it's mostly just me. I was just working and like, I don't know, like rumors are rumors.
I mean, that in itself is interesting.
Do you, like what? I don't know. I don't know if it's that interesting.
Well, I mean, you are part of... Is this a show? Maybe this is the show. You're very much a part of the, like, zeitgeist of Apple people. Like, you're on it's awesome. You're on Renee's list of people to follow during Apple events. You're one of the top Apple software YouTubers. And not engaging with rumors or other podcasts and YouTubers is just really interesting. And I feel like I'm framing it in a way that sounds bad, but it's more of like, was this...
I think it just has to do more with like the beta season of like half the stuff was broken and then I've been focused on my own work and then it just seems like nothing's been happening. And so like people are making podcasts, but there's not a whole lot to talk about. And so it's like, it is just like entertainment and I'm too busy to like spend my time on it right now.
So, I mean, we all know that this beta season has been kind of buck wild because for a number of reasons. I mean, I know I was an early proponent of like, hey, everyone, it's a beta. Calm down. It's going to even out. Well, nah.
I think we had like 8 weeks without automations for shortcuts. And like last week, I did a stream where I hadn't used them. I just like saved it because I was like, I haven't even tried this in 2 months. And like, I think I even said on the stream, it's like, I need to do more of that where I capture myself testing it because I was like scanning tags and I just like grin like an idiot and it's entertaining, or at least I think it is. That's up to everyone else to decide. But
I mean, is your HomePod fully broken right now? Mine's just kind of...
Oh yeah, you can't do any shortcuts. And you haven't been able to for a month. Or like I couldn't... Yeah, like timers have broken for a couple weeks. That's been bad. Yeah, I really want to... I'm like saying it, but who knows what will happen is I almost want to like be very careful next summer and maybe put one iPad on the beta, but then the rest stay off of it and actually make videos over the summer because I would like to not accidentally take summer vacation. Because I was like, I can't, if I make old videos, they're no longer relevant because of the redesign. So like, that actually is somewhat of a benefit is like, I realized if I had made like 100 videos last year, all of them would be irrelevant because they would not look the same. So hopefully they don't change the editor too much in the future and I'll be good.
I've been going through my shortcuts and especially the ones that I made based off old club Mac Stories ones and ones that David Sparks helped me make, and they're all broken. I mean, a lot of them have since been fixed with 13.1 coming back, and it fixed them, basically. I don't know what I was using. What was the main, other than automation, what's the main thing that came back in 13.1 that made things work again?
I mean, the first beta of 13.1, I think it like reverted to what the first beta of 13.0 kind of was. And so the thing that like broke the connection between actions in the original beta one also happened again. And then like sync broke again. And so I had to go refix all of mine again. It seems like it then, like beta 2, it kind of just fixed it all again the way they reverted it originally. So hopefully if you have just like disconnected actions, that should have fixed itself.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And I'm still in this weird place of having NFC tags all around my apartment, and I have stickers on various places on my monitor to mostly trigger timers and like open and close certain apps and stuff. And they work again. But I mean, when do I get to share this with my spouse? Like, when does it become something that actual people can use? That's what I'm interested in terms of rumors, because I find software rumors way more interesting than hardware ones.
Oh, you're talking about when does the 13.1 release come?
Yep.
I honestly, you should have just seen me like throw my hands up in my office a couple weeks ago, because I was just like, I don't know. I have no idea what's happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the middle of the beta season for 13.0, Apple was just like, cut the losses. Let's just release 13.1 beta 1. I feel like it'll update. Like, I think that's what we're going to get on September 20th. What's the date? Oh, yeah, we should talk about dates also in a moment.
How you thought that today? Today is September 9th. And you thought the keynote was today.
I'm a professional podcast, Apple. Follow me. Sorry, Renee. I think every single beta release came out on a different day at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain was just like, it's like, it's supposed to be Mondays. And so it just like went to that. And I clearly don't even, I mean, like, I didn't even necessarily, then even in my tweet, I was like, oh, I thought it was tomorrow. I have more time for my video. But then it's like, wait, I shouldn't put my video out until iOS comes out, which is like, is it next Monday, the 16th?
I'm
a pro at this.
People are saying the 20th. There's that.
Well, that's
whole...
when the phone ships. But I thought like the week, I thought it was the Monday before the phone ships is when
right.
It comes out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
I think specifically I remember that because somebody, I don't remember who, but was like, I don't like to install iOS until I get the new phone, so that it's just like a whole new shiny experience.
Yeah,
all
that
once.
Was Max Temkin, and that's bullshit. It's total bullshit. Like, come on. No.
I mean, I get it.
Like, if you are buying it's not... no, it's bullshit. It's because if you buy a new device every year, sure, you might as well wait. But I mean, speaking of buying devices, I do think we might have a day one patch of 13.1 for when the new iPhone ship. It's not incredibly unheard of. I mean, I've bought iOS devices months after they've been released, and you do need to immediately update it. It's not that big of a deal. And there's the whole, there's the comparison of like game consoles being opened on Christmas and needing all of the day one patches. But I don't know.
Yeah. The consumer side doesn't necessarily matter, but as somebody who's trying to produce, I mean, for like developers and for people who are writing about it, like, do I put automations in my video that comes, like, do I have to have an alternate version where, just kidding, it's not actually out yet, this comes in 4 weeks, like, or do I just say in the video, I'm dumb and don't know what's happening, like, I think that's what sucks, is like, if you are, like, what am I supposed to target right now? It's not clear. I'm kind of just going for it, and then you'll catch up, because it is like one thing that's nice about YouTube is they do have my videos do have like a long shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
My old how to make GIFs on iPhone 1 has gotten like the most views, or it might not be the highest views, but it's grown the most just because it's like organic search. Like people just look at it. And then I think it even has like the best click-through rate because people are like, gifts on iPhone. And they're like, oh, mm-hmm. cool. I didn't even think about that. So that's like, hopefully that will just bear with me until it actually comes out. I'm just going to have to say that.
I mean, I think everybody's sort of in the same boat. I mean, poor Federico Vitici, the guy must be losing his mind. Well, we see how he's losing his mind. If anyone listens to Connected, it's just like, oh, okay, do I roll back half of my review or, you know, just wait and like have an appendix type of, what's it called? The appendix is like, oh, hey, go to this separate post about 13.1 because most of you probably know what it is because you're reading this review. And I don't know. I think the challenge is very much in terms of mainstream coverage as well as education. Like, what do you do? And this is a we're very much preaching to the choir, but it's a little unnerving that such a big feature that's been touted as like the future of automation on iOS, even though it wasn't featured in the keynote at WWDC, there's so much buzz around it, and I don't hear anybody talking about iOS 13 without talking about shortcuts, you know?
That's good. I haven't necessarily heard tons of people talking about shortcuts in context with it, but
I mean,
I don't know who you're referring to also.
So. Is there? Well, yeah, you haven't been listening to podcasts. that's the other thing is like, what if you could, can you tell me right now, what are some new things in iOS 13 other than shortcuts and dark mode?
The swipe keyboard is probably one that I think will be popular with like normal people that nerds probably don't necessarily care about as much.
I love it. I love it so much. Since day one, it's been...
Yeah.
Ugh,
I've used it like 3 times, maybe.
I love it. Love it. But see, that's the thing. It's like, what... I know there's going to be a bunch of new shiny things in terms of the phone. The Memoji stickers are new, right? Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah.
But it's not like groundbreaking feature type stuff.
No, but that moves phones.
Like, I think like some of the files improvements will just be like useful. I guess I haven't even tried connecting to a server.
But they've rolled all that back.
Well, like not necessarily shared folders, but just like even that you can save and rename files is like a tiny little feature that's really nice. And I think you can add a folder while you're saving too. I remember showing David Sparks that, and I think like he went on like a 5-minute rant about how you couldn't do that, and I was like, "Here, it's fixed." And he was like, "Okay, nice." Oh yeah, you can connect to like a remote Mac and grab your files off of the Mac, which is pretty cool. Like, I don't know if I'll use that much on my phone, but I'm using it a lot on the iPad. Yeah, I mean, it's totally an iPad. I mean, who knows with the phone, if there's like crazy cool AR stuff, it could still be interesting, but
it seems like this isn't a release for normal people. Like they kind of did this moonshot of a release for power users on iOS. Because Catalina, there's not a ton of new stuff there. People listening are probably shouting at me, but I couldn't name a single feature.
I think Sidecar is like, I mean, I guess that goes into power users.
I kind of think that, like, yeah, I lumped that in with iOS, but like, what else is there in Catalina?
I barely even have been touching it, but except for editing.
Wait, you've been editing on Catalina?
Yeah.
How's that going?
I don't know if you watched the live stream and noticed 2 minutes of the video just disappear in the middle of it, because I'm currently running OBS by... I have to run a terminal command that, like, forces it to accept the permissions, because a big thing in Catalina, I guess, is security, where you, like, have to get permission to use any camera or mic, mm-hmm. and OBS is using all of those all at once mm-hmm. without the permission, and so it's, like... opening it just quits immediately, but so like during the stream I'm pretty sure my computer was just like and I only put it on my iMac like last week, because I was like, I saw somebody say that Final Cut was fine mm. and then I was like, perfect, what else do I need? And then I was like, OBS. It was like, oh well, that was stupid. But also, OBS might have just crashed on its own, even if I wasn't on Catalina, so...
That's very true. There are so many variables in which OBS can easily fail, especially on a Mac.
But I also don't have Sidecar with this iMac, which is terrible. It's like, I have my girlfriend's MacBook Pro that I've been playing around with it, but like... anyone want to buy my iMac? Wait, because I don't... I want to get a sidecar. I mean, I don't care that a whole lot, but...
Why can't you use Sidecar?
It's just from 2014. So it's like, just can't handle it or something, supposedly.
Have you tried it out with your girlfriend's computer?
Yeah. And it's like, it's pretty nice. I think the problem is, like, if I want more screen real estate, and just because of the way I work, like, I have a computer already, and I use it a little bit.
Is it better than a Luna display, though? That's what I'm interested in.
I don't think... But wait. I use screens, and I use screens all the time. Mm. I guess I don't use that as a second screen, though. I have like a checklist of... there's the overlap between them, because it is confusing. Like, Luna display is better for something like a Mac Mini. But you also have to have like an external keyboard and mouse, or maybe the keyboard does work.
Oh, weird.
But
then,
yeah. So like, there's a bunch of, it's kind of like a Venn diagram where they all overlap, but some of them serve better needs than others.
That is really, really interesting. I don't know.
There is like, well, even I'm still going to use my Luna display because I don't, for my iMac, if I do want a second screen. But I've been iPad, like, not only, but just like forward for so long that now it's like unnatural for me to use two screens. Although it's like, I feel like earlier this summer I was like, man, it would be nice to have two monitors. Like, I don't necessarily need it right now though.
I keep trying to think like, if anyone's going to actually use Sidecar, or I don't know. It feels like a lack of focus. There's so much around iOS that feels like it's completely unfocused, and that is not to speak ill of anybody working on it, because we all know how, well, hope people who have big boy jobs, which I technically don't, like, know how corporations work. And if something's said on stage, it's like, well, yes, that's gonna have to be ready for this. And I actually wonder if it was good that Shortcuts wasn't talked about on stage, because then expectations were tempered a bit. But I'm still
I don't see Shortcuts automations being in like the same boat as shared folders not coming to iOS 13, because it does feel like Shortcuts automations just broke in like right around the beta, that they then also decided to like ship 13.1 ahead of time. And so by the time it, like, because they are in like 2 week cycles of, it was like, I think that was frustrating about wanting to submit feedback, is that like, I have to submit feedback now for a release that's not going to come out for 2 weeks. So in the next release, you're like not going to see any fixes, and it always seems like they ignore you or something like that. But I have a feeling it just like happened right around then, and was going to come back. Like, they said it on Twitter, this is going to come back. And I think it just was like so long that it seemed a little scarier. But mm-hmm. yeah, this is one of those things that seems, it's even at the time to me felt really dramatic. And then it's like the second it's out, it's like, oh, it's just, they shipped 13.1. It's not like automations wasn't supposed to happen and they're taking away the ability to, like, I know that people were concerned about using Open App to go from camera to like a different app. I don't think any of that, I don't see any evidence of that being like a problem or something like that. I think it just didn't work very well.
That's yep. So do you have any sort of day one plans in terms of the actual when iOS 13 is released, whether that be the 16th, the 20th, whenever?
I have a video that's what's new in Shortcuts, just kind of title pending. It's not exactly sexy, but just like to get it out there, because I think one thing that I want to do is maybe wait for the week or 2 weeks after to use actions from apps, because right now I have about 4 to 5 apps that have, I've been beta testing, that have like proper iPad support and also Siri Shortcuts actions for that app. And otherwise I don't really. And so far I've mostly been testing like HomeKit automation type stuff and accessibility things and all the new actions that we got, but not really like, what is it like to use the things Siri Shortcuts actions on a daily basis? And so I don't want to review it on day one, because
that's fair.
I don't think, like, I don't get 1,000 developers sending me test flight things or anything. So I want to like make sure I understand what it's like to use that stuff. And even just like you said, HomePod hasn't worked at all. I think that's, I mean, it's, I want to avoid focusing too much on something like HomePod or Apple Watch, because not everybody uses that, mm-hmm. even though it is like a huge part of the experience. Like, I don't know if you've noticed that since the HomePod hasn't been working, I just like don't use Siri as much. I want to constantly use Shortcuts, but can't. And it's, and like, I just don't want to pull out my phone and use Siri. I'm so used to it that I want it to be like, I mean, even just demoing it, I can't properly do it on like half the devices that I want to. So I think I'm going to focus on that a little bit. And then I want to do streams too. I just want to like teach people how to use Shortcuts. It's less about like the version 2 to version 3 as like start now. Like, now's the time to start. And let's just start from here. So I'm trying not to be like, I mean, like the colors changed and stuff is like somewhat interesting, but it is mostly what I'm interested in is like going forward from here. What's it like to use Shortcuts? And reviewing the entire app at once is not something I'm trying to do right away. Like, I was like, I didn't want to kill myself doing like a 2-hour review over the summer or something, especially when it frickin' didn't work. Like, because using NFC stuff, using HomePod, using like actions from apps, I think are going to be a big part of the experience.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any apps that actually that work currently that you're excited about? Mostly I want to shout out Dark Noise because I love it and it isn't broken. Not that any apps that are broken right now, like, it's their fault. But man, that's a good one.
I think that one, I was about to do the review when it came out, but I want to use the Shortcuts actions with it. Like, I immediately could tell that having to go in and add 15 different actions for each option was not something that, I don't know, even like that, like I said before, that's not what it's going to be like in the future. So I want to review it when it's got all of that stuff. But I do have a couple apps that I'm pretty excited about. One I didn't even know was possible, the thing that they did. And so just, I don't want to say the app names because I didn't actually get anyone's permissions to mention, but one of them built an action so that you can run the URL scheme using the Siri shortcut, where it's just like run URL in app. and they just
wait, hold up. How? Yeah. All right. Stepping back, what is different about that?
So instead of tapping on the link and opening it and then the app accepting it and parsing it, like normally URL schemes apps are already being parsed by the receiving app. And so what they're just doing, instead of taking that link and opening it, they're basically just like taking the string of the URL, looking at it, looking at what link would have been opened, like the same process basically, but instead it just works in the Siri shortcut action, which means that it can go in the background. So you can basically do URL schemes in this app, but actually opening into it. And the big thing for me that I was concerned about is like, I grab unique IDs for projects and things like that all the time. And if somebody totally drops URL schemes and goes only to Siri shortcuts, sorry, I'm burping. I have pop on this.
I should have my pop. There we go. Oh, wait. Oh, that was difficult. Oh, boy. Ow, ow, ow. Okay. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Jesus. Woo. So if somebody goes from the URL scheme and totally drops it and just does Siri shortcuts, then they'll basically, I was like worried that you wouldn't be able to have the more advanced stuff that you still could do with URL schemes. Also just like everything breaking that I currently use. So I thought that was super clever, and I hope all developers who currently have URL schemes add an action that's like run URL in my app so that all of us nerds can still do it while everybody else, like hopefully developers use the APIs better or like they add more in the future or something. Because that's one thing I noticed, I guess. Feel free to say something first, but I have another comment.
No. Go ahead.
I am just like worried about the types of Siri shortcuts that developers are going to build, because I've already seen some that it's only just about creation and about opening still. Like they basically took what we had last year and made them like have parameters, but they didn't go as far as like grab this out of the app and pass it back into shortcuts. And so that like step away from what actions could have been last year are now like guiding developers down a slightly different path, and they're not thinking about necessarily like pulling data into shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I might be sending some feedback and or making videos.
Do you think they're kind of setting up developers for not failure, but failure to utilize automation?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much Apple sets up anybody to use their APIs. They just put them out there.
And oh, they totally do, though.
Yeah, you know? But like, you once you're experienced, you can read the tea leaves. But I think it was somewhat the like technology that they could add at the time, and then it's still hard to tell what your app should look like with a full set of Siri shortcuts, because every app is different and it has to be applied specifically to each piece of content and how your app works and what people want. I wasn't sure how to talk about the podcast actions in my video, but my angle was that they're just like a great example set of actions, because you want to be able to search in the app, not just play something from the app. Or although I don't think they have show in podcasts, which would be nice.
Why though?
Just because it's like if you get a podcast and want to open it in the app and read the show notes or something like that, like it would be like open and like get the current podcast and open it, show it in Overcast so that I can favorite it I don't know.
Oh god, yeah. If only people read show notes. Oh god, I would.
I've been doing like really long show notes now. I don't know if anyone who watches the show has noticed, but like the last two, the guest episodes that we just did, I like wrote scene by or like bit by bit what we talked about, mostly for my own reference. But
I used to do such meticulous show notes for Due by Friday, and nobody just no one cared. They were sequential, had timestamps, and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, and then I stopped doing that, and they were more just general links to stuff we mentioned and like a couple specific things. But now I've gone back to like every single reference I put a link in, because people be like, what are you talking about? What? And so just to get rid of those like 15 people on Twitter bugging me, I'm like, here's all the show notes. So I feel like if someone this is not a show about show notes, but wow, I have feelings, especially how certain apps deal with them. Apple Podcasts actually does pretty good. Like, there were dark days.
It doesn't have rich text, though, right? Doesn't it not do bullets, which is, like, pretty key to...
I thought it did, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's also, you know, what sort of CMS you're using, and a whole, like, clusterfuck of, like, what could be happening behind the scenes. Like the CMS I'm using for something just randomly broke the other day, because I was using the 1.0 version, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna continue to support it, it's fine. And then just kidding, no, you gotta go to 2.0. which, yeah, to bring it back around, I worry about what I'm going to do. If I get a new phone, am I going to need to – will I be able to use the new reminders? Will my shortcuts work? We'll see.
Yeah, like, I mean, you probably just have to get the public beta at least. I mean, that's the thing too. The public beta is already out, so if it's at all a concern to you, you already have a solution. I think it'll work itself out. I just kind of was like, I think that's what I tried to do this summer, was I was like, I have a lot that I'm trying to do, and I feel like a lot of the stuff in the late summer, it's like it's already being sorted out and you just kind of have to wait, and putting my head down and using my do not disturb automations was good. I actually found out I worked with someone to figure out how to turn on do not disturb on your Mac when you turn it on your phone, which is pretty cool.
Whoa, that is very cool. Oh, wow. That's actually very, very cool. Do you know if currently there's a way to... I mean, I guess if you can do it from your phone to your Mac, like I wish I could do that to all of my iOS devices at once. So
not the other way, unfortunately.
Yeah, meh, meh. Oh, well, I feel like I don't like to go into the conspiracy theories of Apple wants you to look at your device more, meh, meh, meh. But the lack of granularity with Do Not Disturb is very frustrating.
Well, you can use the shortcuts action to like schedule it for certain amounts of times. Have you done that yet?
Yeah, but it's still kind of but in the shortcut, you can't.
You have to like do the math using two other actions to get it.
Oh, I'm fine with that, but you can't choose which shortcut, like each shortcut, you can't say, I want this to be do not disturb only if my phone is locked, or do not disturb all the way. Like it's just whatever is in the main settings, because that's like my main thing, really. Like if I am using, let's say I take a break and I am going to like go for a walk. Let's be real. Let's say I'm just going to go on the couch and eat a bunch of almonds, and I have my phone, and my phone's still in do not disturb mode, but I'm on there like just dicking around, and I want to have those notifications. Well, that doesn't work if I have the main setting as do not disturb, even if
like the sub settings, not just the toggle.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to explain. A lot of people don't even know it's there, which.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, when you first mentioned that, I didn't know what you're talking about, 'cause I don't ever change that, but By the way, I did just write that down in feedback. Add the parameters, not just the toggle, for those actions.
Nice. Yeah. I don't even know if it's possible. I mean, so much of what I want to do with shortcuts involves the settings app, honestly. And we can do more and more of that with automation, the like scripting actions. But it's kind of like there's the like little things of like if I'm doing this specific activity, like editing, I want actually this might be possible.
I was going to say the open app trigger probably is good for.
Well, can I open an app? Like, okay. Actually, I think this is possible. Open an app. It turns on dark mode automatically and then turns on do not disturb. Is dark mode or light mode, whatever, normal mode, is that a shortcut action right now?
The set appearance, yeah. Oh. It's not an automation, but... So you could have it be like anytime you open Ferrite, it automatically goes to dark and turns your timer on. And
that's what I was thinking. Why isn't it in automations?
I mean, just like dark mode as a trigger is too generic. And I think they might not have done the, because you can turn it on at sunset and stuff. It like happens for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think some of them, like I think even do not disturb, I was like, I don't know what I want to happen every single time I turn on Do Not Disturb. Like, you could use it. I think one of my notes was that I would leave the automations off and then, like, turn it on for specific uses. And then I could think of a lot more. But, like, one that's just, like, also because driving would just trigger it suddenly. And, like, I haven't tested that also if dark mode works in the car. But...
Oh, interesting. I don't even know. Like, I've honestly been using dark mode constantly, so it's a bit of an edge case. It's so good. I love it. I can't wait for more apps to update to include dark mode. It's just gorgeous. Oh, I want day one to have dark mode so badly. Hmm. Maybe they do, and I'm just not on the beta still of a lot of apps I use every day, like 1Password and stuff like that. But even Omni, the entire like Omni suite of apps hasn't updated to use dark mode at a system level.
Oh, okay.
No. They have it, but they're going to be implementing day one of iOS 13, I believe. I think this is what Ken Case tweeted, but it's going to be more granular, and you can choose like the like all black or eclipse, whatever people are calling it. And that's, I don't know. I really like dark mode. I've wanted it for a really, really long time.
I was going to say, I'm like, even though all the apps that I've gotten that so far, I don't use it because I just keep it dark. I don't actually turn it light ever. So
people have been like eyeing me funny when I'm using dark mode just with messages, which I find very funny. Like because
they can just tell.
Yeah. It just looks so different, and I kind of forgot how different it looked. Like, you know, it's just a pure black abyss, and I guess I don't know. Messages has a very distinctive UI, but not in an obvious way. I don't know how to say this. Like,
I remember earlier in the show, I sent you a screenshot from Messages, and I had never noticed that the top of the like stream, there's a gradient at the top, and like the light blue fades up. At the very, just at the very top, and like in dark mode, that's actually a lot more obvious.
It is, yeah.
Shortcuts also, cool. By the way, the like transition, if you have a bunch of colorful shortcuts and then go from white to dark, it is like, whoa, like it's a huge wipe.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Not like, it's just aesthetically upsetting to me.
I do wish they could just steal the Tweetbot two finger down. Like, that's a pretty solid.
Yeah.
The light switch movement. They should just buy it from them. Oh, by the way, I don't know if this is new to when this got added to shortcuts, but if you tap, I just did this on accident, is if you select a shortcut and then drag to select, you can select a bunch of shortcuts at the same time. I mostly use this to delete the 250 shortcuts that kept coming back over and over again, but it's like the same in photos. If you like try to select one photo and then want to select all 50, you can just drag and it'll do like a slide select. Like, I remember when that was like the fanciest feature ever for photo apps, and then they all expired and blew up and stuff like that in the old days.
Wait, what? I'm trying to do this right now. What is, so I have one, I'm dragging it around. Now what?
It's, you can't, not when you're dragging it, but when it's just in the shortcuts jiggly mode.
Oh, okay. So it's like, all right.
So, yeah, so you can just like jiggle, start at
bitches,
the top left.
Come on.
And then, and then you can...
Okay, so I'm...
I lost it.
Okay, so it's, they're jiggling. I have my last shortcut selected. Now what do I do?
Like, tap as if you were selecting that one again, but like swipe up to the top as if you were like dragging to select all 10 of them. Maybe it's just working on mine. Also, you could be not on the latest beta.
I am on the public beta, so I don't know if that's the same
maybe
thing. I'm also using one hand. Yeah, spoilers for the public beta. The Taptic engine has come back. That's nice.
All that jazz is... All the like rumors that that's going to be taken out or Touch ID added back is all like... Maybe there's probably some like half solution that we didn't think of that you're like, I see. Oh, by the way, the turn on white point is a accessibility toggle in shortcuts now, which is the most, first of all, very confusing because turn it on means you get rid of the white point. Like you turn the feature reduce white point on, but it's called turn set white point.
Oh, I would like, have no
you,
idea
with your
what
dark
to do
mode,
with that.
You can go to like 0% brightness plus like -5% brightness is kind of the way it like, I mean, in video, the white point is how bright the whites are, and mm-hmm. you can reduce that even further than just like the minimum brightness of the screen.
Right.
So if you want to go extra dark.
You're making it, if you want to go to like the hardcore Joker, not just the Penguin or Catwoman. No. You need to be Joker or Bane. Yeah. Hardcore. I don't know why I'm thinking about Batman right now. I don't really have that much more to say about this beta season or I don't know the whatever announcements are going to happen. I was worried at first because I'm like, well, if we're talking about something that's happening tomorrow and it's not coming out, but really we're talking about like the status of iOS and the status of shortcuts and how it's going to, you know, I mean, it's a huge deal. People updating their phones, they're going to see a new app. That doesn't happen very often. When's the last time it happened? Books,
news?
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The news app, yeah. But it is, that's going to be, I have a video also of, because every single time you add, the first time you try to add a shortcut, it will just say, sorry, you can't add shortcuts. These are all untrusted and you have to adjust it in the settings. And then it doesn't even take you into the settings. And you also have to have run a shortcut before that will even show up. So somebody was like, you should probably make a video on that. And I was like, that's a good point because every single shortcut that I share, nobody will be like, people will just be asking me, how do you do this? That's been like a huge thing on Reddit. So, and if you, in case you wanted to know, you have to run a shortcut and then go into the settings and then go into the settings app, find shortcuts there, allow untrusted shortcuts, enter your passcode, and then when you click on the shortcut, you also have to scroll past every action, click a big red button that says allow untrusted shortcut, and then confirm that you want to add it, and then it'll get added. So there's like five layers.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's like Catalina. Like, oof.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It's like I think I sent the video. It's like, of course, it's for security reasons, but I think it sucked that it almost seems like it knows that this shortcut is specifically untrusted. Like, it's an error link when you go to a website and it's like, careful, don't add this. Because it's, unless you really, really want to, and it's like, thanks, guys. Like, but I don't know. I hopefully, I mean, maybe that video alone will be my most views because everybody needs to know.
Everyone's gonna be like, how to? What? What's happening? I think it's gonna be fine. There are a ton of evangelists like you and Vichichi, and it'll be fine. Even if people use it for one thing, like I know people who use text expander for just their email signature.
Yeah, as long that's still as worth it. Yeah,
yeah, it's still worth it. And eventually, you know, your kid is like, "How did you do that?" And then it just spirals out from there. I
feel like the HomeKit stuff is going to be very cool, like being able to just turn on all your lights with shortcuts or start stuff on the Apple TV. Like, there's a ton of, for like daily life purposes, there's a shortcut for that. Oh, God.
Oh,
I hated myself as I was saying that.
Woof.
I'm curious if they're going to, like, what kind of marketing campaigns. I think they said in the App Store it was like Siri's got the shortcut, and I was like, that ain't it.
Gross. Nope. Don't like. Not at all.
That's like a pretty. It's all right. It's an option.
That's yep. I mean, they're not.
Leave it on the maybe pile, but.
Woof. You know what? Here's the thing. Once Apple TV fails miserably and people get bored of talking about Apple Card, they'll be like, okay, what's left? Hey, automations, guys, look at this thing. It's free on your phone. Woo. Which is something they've done in the past.
That was quite the comment on Apple TV just tanking. I mean, I don't know about the Emily Dickinson show. It didn't exactly look like my cup of tea, but I'm interested in the shows. Also, Apple Arcade, I think, will be interesting. And I still am like, if they're bringing Overwatch to the Switch, some of this stuff has to cut. Like, maybe it'll be next summer, but I want like actual video games on all that stuff.
Oh, those are fighting words. Oh.
I mean, okay, like console level games, whatever. I'm talking about like first person shooter stuff that I can play on my Xbox One X.
Okay. So you have
I'm
Fortnite.
An Xbox bro, remember?
And I know.
Oh, okay. You have Fortnite, the like simplest graphical like modern game that's out there.
All right. So what? So you want Call of Duty on the iPad and
Red Dead Redemption. Apex Legends is another good one now that's out there. Like, oh, I just want it to be like I can play anywhere. That's like I've been playing Minecraft this summer to like balance out the excessive amounts of shortcuts rebuilding that I've been doing. And it's like I've been able to play on my iPad with the new Xbox controller support, which is cool. And then I think one time my iPad was charging and I moved to my phone, and then I can also play on the TV. So like, I was trying to get the Apple Arcade experience just with Minecraft, and first of all, game's amazing, but it's
breaking news 10 years later.
Yeah, you were making fun of me. It's like, hey, Minecraft is still, I think it's one of the most like streamed, like it has way, way more streams than Fortnite even.
Oh, or yeah, maybe, it's the maybe, biggest video yeah. game of all time. It recently surpassed sales of, what was it? Maybe Tetris? I forget.
Yeah, Mario or something. But
yeah, it was wild, which is great. But what I want is cross-platform across the board, which you can't do that with iOS right now. And this is the problem with a bunch of consoles. This isn't iOS exclusive. But I don't know. Since more companies are playing nicely with the Switch, I think Apple Arcade could be something that pushes them over the edge, hopefully.
If they just like beefed up the current Apple TV and made it like a gaming version, I think I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, it seems pretty straightforward. And then the developers, Lord knows game developers want to make more money. But I mean, who knows if, like, oh, that'd be awesome if Apple took a stand against loot boxes and stuff. Although now that I'm thinking, they're the ones that run the App Store, so yeah, maybe no. I shouldn't.
I have so many developer friends who are both excited and terrified of Apple Arcade. If I were to know anybody who was working on an Apple Arcade game, like, their experience has been amazing. But that's one person. And also, it's yet to be seen, like, how this game will perform versus their other games in the store and how many other indies are going to be let into the program. It's going to be...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
There'll definitely be plenty to talk about.
My most recent, like, bee in my bonnet is the featured games being almost completely IAP-based. And I'm fine with... I mean... I've played so many hours of Pokemon Go, it's upsetting. Mm. But you're the App Store. Like, also you, I don't know if you want to
I'm the App Store.
Yes, you Matthew Casinelli, you're the App Store. Be better. There was a feature.
Sorry, I was prioritizing Apple's own apps over everyone else's. Did you see that this morning? That was bad.
Yes. The thing is that New York Times story, you know, just eviscerating Apple for prioritizing their own apps was, I agree with pretty much everything it said, but it was also kind of nice that I can now say I have had one of my shows in the New York Times because there is Overcast is in there, and the one being played is on the screen is Reconcilable Differences, but in the most suggested, if you zoom in, you notice there's another show with Max Temkin and Merlin Mann and Alex Cox that I was like, whoa. So it's very difficult to see. And I didn't even notice that until someone pointed it out. But I was like, ha, ha. Nice. So then it was hard to be mad at Apple. I don't know. It's
those all read. I think those read like a hit piece is why I was like, I took it immediately. I was like, all right, I don't know. It's like, because they're like, Apple stacked the App Store with their own apps. And Apple is like, we noticed it and we changed it like 6 months ago. I don't know. Like, I get that it's the effect is real, but it makes it seems like Apple was like, let's just put all of our own apps at the top of the App Store. And so everybody else will be screwed. It's like, no, they didn't do that. So, like, I think it's like disingenuous to write the articles as if that's what they did.
And they didn't. I don't remember. Did they address the problem of apps having to buy ads for their own apps? Like, it's the Amazon problem. Yeah, like that I find to be a way bigger issue.
Isn't that just how advertising works? That if your competitor buys your name, like, I think that's just how ad marketplace, like,
no,
maybe they shouldn't have put ads in the App Store or like place it underneath or something, like. But I think that if you go Google something, it'll show ads for your competitors at the top.
That is the idea, right? And like, but the fact...
Maybe these two together makes it worse.
I think so, because like I had to re-download Castro on my iPad, my new iPad mini, and I searched for Castro, and Castro was the like third thing. It was the number one ad spot, but in front of it was, I think, Downcast. It wasn't even Apple Podcast first. It was like, I don't know. It was so strange, and I wonder if that is a broken thing or if it's intentional. I don't know. I just Ads are bad and I don't like them. Hot take.
I think one thing that's very true about Apple is it's like if somebody doesn't notice it, they're not going to fix it. Like they don't proactively look for problems like that. Or like maybe they do more than it seems like, but I think there's a lot of stuff that's like they're all so busy all the time that if it gets reported in the right way or something, but they're not like searching for their own apps by name and just like testing results constantly. Like I think that was one thing that was in the story that I noticed that surprised me was they're like, we don't keep track of results for apps. Like they don't.
Oh, right.
It's not like Google where they're like logging everything that's ever happened and compare everything. It's like, they're just, it's like, I was like, wow, maybe you guys should do that. But
yeah, that seemed weird. I'm like, wait, that's the one thing you don't do? That's okay. Like, I don't know. We haven't mentioned all of like the Siri dust up stuff, but I think this is the first privacy scandal Apple has gotten into where there was genuine validity behind it. And
yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty. I mean, oof. Ping.
They like did the right thing, but also all those people lost their jobs. But also it's like after the fact, and yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not like, I don't know if I can as easily recommend some of the stuff. I mean, I said on the show that like I didn't even know some of what was. Oh no, and I was on Clockwise, and I was like, how much that they did disclose did you know? Because that was my whole thing. I was like, they told you that they uploaded contacts and I didn't know that, and apparently on Twitter it looked like I was being like, we all should have known better, but which was great.
That's the thing too. I knew that they kept transcripts, but I don't know. I know that it's still, people are like digging in to old terms of services and like,
For me, I think the thing that's easy to forget is that Apple is still collecting all the data. They're mm-hmm. just not sharing it with people, and they're keeping it secure and randomized, but they still have the data and like need to know. I mean, it is still like, do you know that this contact name is accurate based off of this audio transcription? And like a lot of the problems were that it like wasn't Apple employees who didn't have the same incentive to be private about it mm-hmm. versus, but like privacy isn't no data. And I think that's something that like in my brain I had sort of embedded that it's like nothing gets passed out of my device. I mean, they also like put ads that say what happens on iPhone stays on iPhone. Yeah. So like it's their fault also. Yeah. Like shot yourself in the foot. Mm-hmm. But I mean, also like it's still true 99% of it. But it's still like when you just say to someone like, oh, the accidental watch recordings were sent to Apple, people are like, that's not cool. Like, I would have rather had none at all, even though it's Apple just reviewing it. It's like, I thought the HomePod was more secure than that. So mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not exactly like railing against Google or Amazon as hard necessarily, but I don't think it, I still am like, if it is evil, it's definitely the lesser of three evils. Like,
yeah, I really liked people on Twitter being like, oh, that's it. I'm switching to the Amazon Echo. And I'm like, you know that you can literally go into your browser and listen to every recording they've ever done, right? Right? No? No?
And it's like, at least they're transparent about the fact that they're doing that. But it's still, you don't know about the downstream effects of that.
I actually, this whole thing prompted me to go and listen to my old recordings, and half of them are Alexa stop, Alexa stop, Alexa stop, which that's pretty telling too. I still have faith in the HomePod. I am going to say it now, this October, or no.
Oh yeah.
Next year there will be the Siri Pod. And it's going to be like an Echo Dot, and it's going to, you can buy one with a data plan so that you can use it in the car. Oh shit! It's going to be a part of CarPlay. Oh wait, is Siri a part of CarPlay?
Yeah, you can. Oh yeah, the shortcuts all work through CarPlay now too.
What? What? Okay, yeah. That's very cool. Yep.
That's all right. Dope. I mean, I feel like we totally got away from like all the new actions from shortcuts, like from apps, are going to be really good. You can do anything that an app can do. They can make that available in shortcuts. And there's already some cool third-party apps that I'll put links in the description here of like they're building specific like API support for stuff, and then it just hooks into shortcuts. So like you can detect the image, the color of an image and stuff like that. That's all in publicly available APIs or stuff that you can sign up for. And then you can just like make those all into functions. And I think some of the developers I've seen are like, oh, I'm curious if people will be interested in this. I'm like, this is the new type of app that people should be building.
Exactly.
And we'll make all of this stuff like, that's why it is like, I don't know, like reviewing it right now is like a limited view of what shortcuts will be even in a month or two. Or I think it is, the hard part is going to be developer adoption and mm-hmm. who recognizes this and develops it and can code a program that can do it. Like that's the human part of software development is usually the problem, but I'm excited to talk about it more and like maybe just try to like build consumer demand for it, because when everybody's asking you to add the feature, that's much better than you having to like decide it that it's worth doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end things.
Sure. No, I mean, sorry, I had a seed in my mouth. I was also thinking about the book part, but
the book part. Yeah. Well, have me on again and talk about, since I've now read this book twice and I just listened to it again.
I mean, ooh, so I guess before we should talk about stuff just before we like, because I don't know, I'm probably not going to do the show for at least like 6 months. I'm probably just going to stop until January at the least, just to like not be doing 8 things at once.
That seems wise.
And I also, just because I don't think I want to take the supercomputer brand as like my YouTube channel and my website or anything. It doesn't feel right for some reason. Like it would be a good name. I don't know. It's a really good podcast name. I just don't think it necessarily, I'm not sure.
You should keep this in the show and and ask for people's feedback.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's still like, I chose to go behind my name so that it was like a person and not a brand that like morphs into something else. Like, I don't want to have like a staff of 30 people or something. So I don't want to sell that brand or something necessarily.
Just the idea of managing 30 people made like bile come into my mouth. Oh God. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, I want to build my own business and like grow it small and just be me but as much as possible. But yeah, I mean, so do you think you are like pretty much done with the show then? Or like, is it a thing where if you did like were able to do it more and maybe we had more of a guarantee that we could make money from it, you'd be interested in doing it again?
I mean, it would have to be ad sponsored and would never do any edit like right now. Yeah, I'm literally not doing any editing whatsoever. Like Quinn's even taken over like the show notes stuff of like Due by Friday just because I'm not using my hand. And
I thought my like a random thing I was saying to Errol was like, if I just had like 100,000 subscribers to relaunch the show and like with a way that made like pitch to advertise, like get money, but to restart the show and stuff, not just like see how it goes, then it would make sense. But
I'm kind of like up in the air on everything, like just because of basically it's like I used my hand too much and then I don't regain full motion again. So that's why that's just kind of why I'm like, I can't do anything quite literally. I type with a Wacom tablet at work. It's very inefficient.
I am like, I feel like I've only heard bit by bit of just like So you had it all removed, and then what's like?
Oh, can we keep effect? This in the show? We should keep.
Sure, if you want. Yeah. I mean, because I was going to say we have to explain that part to people too.
Yeah. No, I had a tumor on my hand, and it was removed, and it was malignant, and so I kind of like kept it quiet because there was nothing anyone could like do to help really, and I just didn't want anyone to be sad or scared. But it's been, oh God, what, since like, I don't know, someone found like the first mention of it on Due by Friday of like Jen and Max poking my finger. And
well, yeah, because you had like a thing on your finger that you joked about for a while.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and that was this.
Yep. And then turns out it was not great. And so for the past few months, I have just been like in physics. I've had three minor surgeries, and I just had what is hopefully my last surgery that was like the big boy surgery. I put this on Twitter that it was like cosplaying Grey's Anatomy, which it really was. Like that wasn't just a bit. It was wild. But everything is good now. I just need to scale back basically doing anything with my right hand, which makes things really like there was a point for a while that like I was talking with we have an HR department kind of about like taking medical leave and stuff, and pretty much now I am not doing anything with my right hand, which makes recording podcasts hard and editing them pretty much impossible at this point.
Dear God, please don't try.
Yeah, I've stopped trying, which is why RoboWisdom didn't have a relay episode or a relay membership episode this year, and why, well, I guess people haven't really noticed any differences with Due by Friday because our amazing editor Quinn also happens to work out of the Cards Against Humanity offices. So I'm kind of like over her shoulder, like, hey, so that, move that there, do that. And my spouse, Maddie, has taken over all editing for our show, Two-Headed Girl. And but in general, like literally setting up equipment also is
yeah. Just like 15 minutes of using your hands. And I mean, we did always struggle with just like logistics because you are already doing a bunch of other stuff, and it was like pretty specific times that we could record. And and at least on my side, like I should probably make some more videos. So
you should utilize those thousands of people subscribed to your channel.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm already doing it, which is great. I have a video right now that I want you to review, Alex, for me. And doing streams too has been, I think that's one way that for people who did enjoy the show, at least as it is now, is I'm going to be talking about some stuff a little bit more casually on live streams. And I think also trying to have guests on just to be able to get other people's opinions and socialize with people outside of my house. Well, I'll also be in my house, but
I was going to say, wait,
this is my solution, is just go on the internet more.
Well, that honestly, that has kind of been my thing though too. I bought a special adhesive so I could like mod a pop socket to go onto the back. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Listen, in terms of like people doing weird setups, you're not allowed to judge me on this one.
But I mean, you have good reason.
I was because pop sockets don't stick to the Apple silicone case as well. And because I was spending like really long hours in the hospital, I wanted my Apple battery case because I'm a bougie bitch. And I don't want to have to plug in into an external USB. good Lord, no. So I like I like chiseled off the original adhesive and got like really hard 3M stuff. So who knows what would happen. It would probably like pull the battery out if I tried to take this pop socket off. But I have to say, the way it is actually pretty easy to build shortcuts just with your thumb.
That's good.
And
you wouldn't be able to type for sure.
Yeah, no, I've been like shocked at how good it is on the iPhone. And also on the iPad mini, which has been my main like mobile computer basically, because I can use it with one hand in my lap pretty easily. If I don't have the like space to bring my 11-inch iPad Pro, because it's just too big for me to hold. And I feel like I'm sounding like a martyr. Like, I'm gonna be fine. My hand's gonna be fine. Like, it.
But I want to help guarantee that also. Like, don't risk anything. And I'm glad you're gonna like take time to recover too, because that's like the rest of your life is more important than podcasting stuff. So
it's in the middle where I was like, man, if this goes south, the prosthetics these days, super cool.
You can have a lot more interesting things to talk about, but you won't be able to set up to talk about them.
Yes, exactly. That's the problem. I mean, I've never appreciated USB-C more, actually, because just being able to plug something in and not needing to
reverse it. Yeah.
Just like, okay, it doesn't matter. Oh, man. That's another thing.
I'll have to have you on a stream with, I want to build you, I don't want to call them accessibility, maybe disability. I don't know if it's exactly in that territory, but medical leave. You actually have the like most need for it right now, where you physically can't use your device, but you still could get stuff done. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's really what I've been doing, and especially Timery Joe's app with his, like the shortcuts that he's built in, and somehow they have not ever broken for me. So I don't know if it's because I've spent the most time in Timery, or if it's because he's just really an amazing developer. I'm going to go with number two, probably. It's just kind of opened my eyes more in terms of what you can do with accessibility, with shortcuts. Because iOS has always been amazing with accessibility. But, I mean, I've wanted dark mode for so long. And this is it's related to the hand thing. I didn't know that I had a very high threshold for pain.
I feel like we all knew that, but yeah.
People were like, well, duh. I would see little little floaties, which also happen to people, like eye floaties, like little black spots.
When I'm going to pass out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or when you're like really tired. I actually went to the eye doctor because I'm like, huh, this is happening more often. What's up with that? And they're like, no, your eyes are fine. When I was at the doctor and they're like asking me to rate my pain and all that, and they're like, do you happen to ever sort of see stars? And I'm like, I've never known what that means. Like, no, I have never seen little gold things pop up at all. It's like, what about like black dots? I'm like, yeah, kind of in the corner.
Yeah, like all that, like right now, actually.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I got a little bit right now, but I don't know. And they're like, yeah, no, whenever that shows up, stop immediately what you're doing. That's your body saying you're in way too much pain.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, cool. Which, okay, so anyway, that, but now, some of that is unavoidable, just because when you have your hand cut open a bunch of times, you will see those spots. And reading or using stuff with dark mode is so much easier. Oh my gosh, I adore it. But yeah, I'll be around and on the internet. I'm just not going to be using my right hand at all. I'm making it sound sad. It's not sad. It's good.
I mean, I'll just say it. I'll be sad to not be able to do the show with you each week and have time to talk and stuff like that. But I'm also like super proud of what we've done, and I'm looking forward to the future too.
And I'll be on the user group much more because I have nothing. I have much. It's not that I have less to do. It is that I am choosing to do less, which usually means dicking around online. But I'm trying to be off of Twitter and Instagram. So I spent a lot of time in Discord and Slack. And it turns out people tend to be nice when you invite them to a community.
Well, I'll put the link to the Discord for the Shortcuts user group in the show notes as well, if anybody likes to join. We do have like 250 members now, which is pretty solid. And I actually just rewrote all the descriptions for the channels today, so it's more clear what to talk about where.
Yeah,
so,
I noticed that. That was very well written, too.
Thanks.
You should write more as for a living. Why do I always make this joke? It's not that funny, but I still do it. Oh, all right. Well, for the last time, I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Matthew Casinelli.
And this is Supercomputer.
See you later, nerds.
Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Alex Cox. Oh, fuck, what do I say?